webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Thank you, Robert Moore, and greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, November 9th, 2011. The only November 9th, 2011 in the history of humanity. Welcome in on this midweek edition of Glenn Klein Online. The Gospel Revolution takes to the air. And some weeks are more historical than others, folks. Some nights, some days are more historical than ever. Tonight is one of those nights, because the very lovely and talented, the president, the founder, the unteacher, the false Christ, the grand poobah, the Kentucky Colonel of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams, is nowhere to be found. We've been doing this program since October of 2006, and Sean has been in on it for about half the time, Sean O'Halloran, the producer and engineer of the program, and we've never had this before, where we have not been able to get in touch with Michael, and we've had a lot of other situations. But we have not had this particular situation. So we are waiting to hear from Mike. We hope the rapture has not occurred and that Mike was the only one that was taken up in the rapture. We hope, obviously, that he's all right, but he's not answering his phones, his multiple phones. And so I'm going to ask Jeff Robertson, that I'm assume is listening to this, to at least email him. I did not email Michael and tell him to call the show. If he's online, he will see the email from Jeff. Or any of you guys that have Mike's email address, email him and tell him to please call the show. We're waiting to hear from Mike Williams. We have so much to cover tonight, and we will do that. But in the meantime, we are going to take your calls at 813-425-5773 all the way around the world. 813-425-5773. That is the worldwide number, that gets you into the Gospel Revolution webcast. 800-436-3260 is the toll-free number, in Canada and the United States of America. We're going to have a full report on the just-completed Gospel Revolution Convention. No, not a convention. A summit it was. The Gospel Revolution Summit 2 that was completed this last weekend here in the beautiful Tampa Bay area, the Bay of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to take your calls. We're going to hopefully hear from Mike tonight. But we're winging it. We're doing our thing, as we promised to do. And right on cue, let us go to the Tennessee, the volunteer correspondent, the senior correspondent, the poet laureate of the Gospel Revolution. Please welcome online Mr. Jackie Barner. Jackie!
Hey, Glenn, how are you?
Jack, I'm doing great. I'm hoping Michael's all right. I'm hoping that the rapture has not occurred and that he was the only one raptured. But yeah, it's kind of a strange occurrence, but, I'm glad you called. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I'm assuming, Michael is taking a nap and he forgot all about the webcast.
You know, I only talked to him about five times today. And I have to say, I don't think we ever mentioned the webcast, and it would not be unlike Mike to forget the webcast if I had not reminded him. Because usually...
I don't know about Mike, but it sounds like something I would do. Last night I was up on Mont Eagle Mountain. If you're familiar with this area, you know what I'm talking about. I of course, just resigned my job, and my last night was this past Thursday. The quality and engineering group wanted to have a get-together for me at O'Charley's, and they couldn't do it until last night, Tuesday night. So they had, you know, we had scheduled that. I'm up at the top of Monte Hill Mountain. I just started down, and I get a phone call from my former boss. And I said, oh, well, I won't tell you what I said, but I said, I'll be there in 30 minutes. Now, they were waiting on me at O'Charley's. This is a big deal, and I forgot it. So that's something like I would do, not anybody, nobody else would do that kind of thing.
So wait, you forgot your own retirement party?
Yeah. So I told him I would be there in 30 minutes. Normally it takes me 30 minutes to come from the point where I was. I came down that mountain sideways. I got there in 15 minutes. And it was good. Everything went well. Got a couple of comments for you.
Please.
Okay, one is in regard to the e-letter that was sent out today. And there was an individual who had a complaint about the webcast, and that's he can think what he wants to. That's fine. He has that right, that privilege. I'll admit, sometimes things get pretty deep. I mean, when Pep Washburn calls in, man, I have to process what Pep says.
Well, Pep is the medicine man of the Gospel Revolution. So some peyote may have been involved, or a sweat lodge here and there. But Jackie, because some people did not see the email, we have people in, of course, 160 countries of the world listening. Many of them, of course, are not on the email list. We need to bring people up to date. Can you hold on with us?
Sure.
Okay. And I'm happy to report, ladies and gentlemen, that the law enforcement officials of the Texas Rangers have located Michael Williams. He is not a missing person anymore. Apparently, the rapture did not take place. Please welcome online the most holy high reverend, Mr. Michael Williams. Where the hell were you?
Are you guys playing ball without me?
You could say that.
I thought I could get an errand run, but which I had plenty of time. And then, of course, I didn't calculate the possibility of traffic for some reason on a particular street here, and I sat through one traffic light, three lights. It's like, come on.
All right, well,
hey, that sounds like a night in August that I had there.
No.
That is awesome, Jackie. And folks, we're not even going to tell you what that was about. You're going to have to go back a couple of webcasts to be updated on Billy and Jackie's wild adventure in Houston,
well,
Texas.
I've got to confess. It's confession time. It was all Billy's fault.
And of course it was.
And now we know the rest of the story. Well, we're glad that you didn't forget, Michael, because then you would have had a Jackie Barnard moment. Jackie, right prior to you calling in, related to the beautiful humans that he forgot his own retirement party last week.
Oh, my gosh. Jackie, you just did that to make me look good tonight.
No.
All right, so here's the deal. Jackie broached the subject of today's email, and I said we need to talk about the specifics of the email so that everybody that's listening is up to date, and within the email we did post this criticism that came out, folks, in the wake of an email, an extracurricular email, if you will, that came out on Monday. And here's what happened. We had this wonderful summit, which we will be talking about as the webcast progresses. And we had an incredible group of people, as we did at the Houston summit. We also did here in Tampa. However, we had certain expenses that were associated with the get-together. that frankly were not met by the donations that the people that did give this weekend. Our expenses were not met, and we were already well behind. We were behind coming out of the last pledge drive. We have a lot of bills that are strictly associated with the promotion and propagation of this message. And so for the first time since we've been sending out this newsletter, which has been going on for many, many years now, we asked for a cash call, frankly, a call for people that are committed to this effort, that believe in it, that see it as something important. And so the email that we sent out on Monday said this. This letter is only intended for those who have made a decision that the gospel, the broad sharing of its message, and the support of it in time, in effort, and in money are a priority in their life. The Gospel Revolution Summit 2 in Tampa produced an incredible series on the teachings of James, Peter, and John. Michael was on fire, and as always taught in the context of their writings, backgrounds, and in contrast to the scriptures and much of Paul's focus. You're going to love it, and folks, you are going to love it. We had a great group of people who came from many diverse locales. It was, as always, good news. Now, while there is never bad news in the good news, there is some bad news in the wake of the weekend that we are asking you, our friends and gospel supporters, to help out with. The donations that came in at the summit did not even cover the expenses of the weekend. This was after the fall pledge drive fell far short of our goal. And frankly, as of this post, the Gospel Revolution and Mike Williams Ministries are in dire financial straits. So, as much as we literally hate to do it, we feel we have no alternative than to turn to you who have benefited from this effort to ask you for as large a one-time gift as possible. This is a financial emergency. If the best you can do is $5 or $10, please do it. If you can do hundreds or thousands, please do that. We need your help. We are asking that everybody who cares about getting the Gospel Revolution to more people do something. And then we gave the information. We said that for gifts of $100 or more, totaling $100 or more, that they would receive the entire downloadable book, the series that came out of the Gospel Revolution Summit 2. And we said, you guys know us. We have never done anything like this before. If the need was not great, we would not ask. We hope to hear from you at your soonest possible moment. And then much love, grace, and peace for all, Mike Williams Ministries. Okay, so we send this out with great trepidation, but we sent it out.
Yeah.
That was on Monday. And also, I think it was on Monday, might have been yesterday, on Tuesday, we get this response from a gentleman named Ken. And this is what Jackie was referring to. It said, "Wow, Mike and Glenn, you guys are starting to sound just like the WCG sounded." And I'm assuming that's the Worldwide Church of God. "Sad to see. For the last couple of years, you guys have turned off so many people by weaving a web of complication to what is so simple and easy to understand. So I have withdrawn my support and will remain that way. Hopefully, you both will see the path you're going down and will really step back and have a look. Get back to the basics, because most of what you say beyond that is speculation and your own opinions. P.S. If you don't understand what I'm talking about, just read the first sentence of your latest email. Trying to guilt people. So sad." And then Ken signed it. So in the email that Jackie was referring to, which was today's email, it had Ken's letter in it, because what we said in the email was that if Ken is thinking about it, wherever Ken is writing from, many people around the world, remember, we're in over 160 countries. There got to be a lot of people thinking similar thoughts to that which Ken is thinking of. Now, we included Ken's letter, in an email that talked about the webcast. It's got a profound message from Michael on the issue of how to get Jesus to be a reality in your life, the gospel to be a reality. It's all about the scriptures. It's now, Jeff posted it on the homepage at gospelrevolution.com, so you can go there and to read it in its entirety. And it also includes Ken's letter, as well as the letter that preceded Ken's response, which was a letter we sent out on Monday. Having said all of that, I failed to put the first sentence of Monday's letter in today's email. And the reason that that happened was because that sentence, this letter is only intended for those that support the gospel, etc., was added to it after we did the initial letter because, Michael, you wanted to make sure that it was not a guilt. I mean, we were very careful, obviously, not to pull on guilt strings and all that stuff. We just stated the truth. But you wanted to say to folks who are getting the e-newsletter, who may just be new to the gospel revolution or whatever, that this is only intended for people that get us, that understand what this message is about, that actually support it. The way that Ken took it was that first sentence, which I left out today, which I apologize for. It was just because I copied it off the original letter. The reason that you wanted that paragraph, which was basically just a sentence added into the beginning, was because you didn't want people who don't exactly know where we're coming from, who don't understand that we've never written a letter like this. And so, having said all of that to set the stage, now you know what we are referring to and what Jackie was calling in when we didn't know if Michael was alive or dead. So, Mike, we're glad you're alive. Having said all that, Jack, what did you want to say, Jackie, based on all of that?
First of all, I want to say that since the gospel has made such an impact in my life, I don't do anything out of guilt. You can't guilt me into anything. Glenn, Michael, Jeff, nobody.
Damn you, Jackie Barter.
Even if we tried.
Jackie Barter.
I dare you to guilt me. You can't guilt me into anything.
Damn it.
It wouldn't have worked if we'd have tried, would it, Jackie?
Secondly, I would like to know, I don't know how comfortable you feel with this kind of information. I would like to know how much we owe for the Tampa Summit. You may want to tell me off the air.
I'll tell everybody. I'll tell everybody. We've had a tremendous response to this one email. We had the negative response, or the critical response, from Ken. And Ken sent another note to us. And I frankly noticed that that first sentence had been left out prior to him responding. But he responded and he said, "You guys left out the sentence that I referred to," which is true. But I'm going to get into Ken's the rest of his email because it is germane to our conversation on the gospel. And I felt that he had some very good things to say about it. That will allow us to talk about it. But having said that, we've had some tremendous... The answer to your question is, Jackie, the total that was lacking from the last pledge drive and, frankly, from the first Gospel Revolution Summit in Houston and the pledge drive and this summit in Tampa has been more than taken care of in the last 24 hours, amazingly. I mean, we're blown away. Here's an email that we got... from one of our supporters, which was in contrast to Ken's response. He says, "I'm sure when you make the need known, you will get a positive response." He says that it has been helpful to me to make your need known. And then he cut off a huge donation to the ministry. We've had some people step up big time. When we said $5 or $10 or hundreds or thousands, we've had people give at every level of that. It's been really remarkable, actually.
Well, let me say this as far as the writer of the critical email. I'm not critical of him. I'm not saying this to diss him and to hammer him.
Well, you don't know him, so it doesn't make a difference.
No, it doesn't really matter. He is a, it struck him as it struck him. I mean, you know, he took it the way he took it, and that's fine. We're all free agents, you know. And free thinkers. So.
Oh, I like Sean. Hold on. You know, hold on. We got to write that down as the title for tonight's program. We are all free agents. I like that. that's kind of a sports term. So I particularly like it.
So you know, I'm just. I appreciate what you guys do. I wanted to go to the summit so bad. I tried every way to think how I could make it happen, but I just couldn't. We'll do another one sometime, I'm sure.
rumor has it there might be one coming in February, but it's only a rumor.
Yeah, well, we'll have to check on that rumor and follow up on it. we have to talk to the powers that be. speaking of powers that be, one thing I hope every listener understands is that this is not Mike and Glenn's ministry. Yes, it has the name on it, Mike Williams Ministry. And Mike is our foremost speaker, and I appreciate him for that. But, you know, the Gospel Revolution doesn't do things covertly and in a sneaky kind of way. We just try not to bellyache and whine and then call it the, when it's answered, the needs met, say, you know, look what God did, or anything like that, you know. We just try to make it, it is what it is. We're glad that it's being done. Jeff will be hearing from me Friday as far as my contribution, my one-time contribution goes.
Well, I appreciate that a lot, Jeff. I respect that and appreciate that a lot, Jackie. We have a tremendous list of people that we'll be reading off that did respond favorably to our email. I guess I did read the entire email. While I got you on, Jackie, Michael, Ken says that he hopes that we both see the path we're going down and really step back and have a look and get back to the basics. Now here's the salient point beyond the criticism of trying to put guilt on people, which Jackie, I think, so accurately and beautifully demonstrated that it would be a hard place, or we'd be hard put to place guilt on any of the gospel revolutionaries. And by the way, I offered in my correspondence with Ken for him to call tonight, and right now there is a line available. Ken, for you, we'd love to talk to you at 800-436-3260, or anybody else for that matter that wants to chime in. 800-436-3260. But he says, get back to the basic. He says, because most of what you guys say beyond the basics is speculation and your own opinions. Now, Ken, by his own admission, has been a past supporter of ours and says he's not going to support us anymore. And I don't know who this gentleman is. At all. So this is, to me at least, a faceless person. But in my correspondent, I said, I appreciate you. And I do appreciate anybody that reaches out and communicates. And he's communicating his heart. Michael, as Jackie alluded to, a few minutes ago, we have gotten into some pretty esoteric, pretty deep stuff over the last many months. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about the effect of the gospel. We've talked about the position of the observer that we believe the gospel, the influence of the gospel puts one in. We've talked about the lack of guilt that comes from the exposure to the gospel. You just had last week the top 10 reasons to abandon self-righteousness. What is your response to Ken's comment that much of what we say beyond the basic gospel? We talked about fractals and about the scientific meaning of fractals and how we see that as an example or a type of the gospel. Are we speculating? Is it just our opinion? Or are these pretty salient gospel points?
Well, there's always room for someone to offer an opinion. I mean, my entire position about the gospel is my opinion. I just simply believe that my opinion is based on the scriptures. And, I'm very moved by Paul's comment about that nature itself would teach us the gospel. And that's been something that's been very impacting to me. I remember years ago how that impacted my heart. And I really wanted to find the ways that we could share the gospel outside of the content of even the scriptures. Because if the gospel truly is the power of God, then it has to be reflected in many, many ways of creation itself. I definitely have gone that direction, but I don't make any apologies for it. My heart is to explore every area, and I don't know of any area, whether it's been fractals. I remember the other day I was talking about the photosynthesis even. And comparing that to the possibility that could be like the mind absorbing.
The other day was about 2.5 months ago, but
the other day is always 2.5 months ago.
No, I think that's a great example though. we were comparing the gospel and the exposure to the gospel to our souls, to our brains, to our intellect, our emotion, our will.
To the very energy of the sun,
right,
and the process of photosynthesis. That is totally looking at possibilities of these things being reflective of the gospel. And quite frankly, I enjoy doing that myself. And we certainly didn't hear a single complaint, not even from Ken, during this time. I don't remember anyone voicing an opinion about that at all. And Jeff has direct instructions from me that if we get criticisms that come to the ministry about anything that we're saying or doing, those must be reported to me. And I've not heard them. So we take criticism very, I personally, being Mike Williams of Mike Williams Ministries that has, been in operation for many years, believe me, I've said a lot of wrong things in my life. And, I have had to correct myself so many times. So correcting myself is certainly not an unusual thing for me. In fact, I'm very comfortable with that. Changing my mind is certainly not something that anybody could say that I am unwilling to do, because that's how I got here, is by changing my mind. I don't think we've ever left the basics. I know for a fact that even though we talk about a lot of things, you can't get back to the basics when you never left them. The basics are, just like the letter that just went out, that before this criticism came in, which we welcome the criticism, I just wish he would say what it is that we're doing. The only thing that he actually said that he disagreed with was the opening sentence.
Well, and he said that we were utilizing guilt. And then, of course, he says what we're doing is so sad. Now,
yeah, and the thing that kind of tickles me about that is that there's been occasions where that I have, I actually kind of tested the folks, in meetings, and to say something like, even when I did remember to take up an offering, that I've said things like, if you don't give, that God can't bless you. The people laugh at me. So
Well, you said it tongue in cheek, of course.
Yes, absolutely. And but at the same time, it's like, you know, will these people swallow this? And honestly, it was like, thank God, no, they don't swallow this. So to me, the people that are involved, the people who we directly address in the Gospel Revolution, would absolutely laugh at me if I tried to guilt them into doing anything. They would spot it, you know, a mile away. And I fail to see any guilt because we're not telling anybody that they are not going to be right with God or that God will be displeased with them or that even we will be displeased with them. There's no negative that was offered in that sentence that I, as you said, that I particularly wanted. It took me several hours during the day to contemplate this. We kind of had a conference going about, you know, what we should do and if anything at all. And it took me a while before I could wrap my heart around doing this at all. And then the only way that I could embrace it was to preface this by making sure that this letter wasn't sent out to everyone on our general mailing list, that it was only to those who felt like that they were really already supportive of the ministry. I think from Ken's letter, he had already stopped supporting the ministry, if I am hearing him right.
Here's the ironic thing, is that you inserted, and I heard that, and I agreed to it. We inserted that sentence at the beginning of the letter to make sure that people knew that if they were not intricately and intimately, frankly, involved with this effort, that this wasn't to them, that this was not addressed. But and it just goes to show you how people have their different viewpoints and hear things differently. Ken saw it as an attempt to guilt. We saw it as an attempt to free people from any possibility of guilt.
Yeah, and let me also say that I respect Ken's opinion of this attempt, and I respect his criticism of the ministry. And I have nothing negative to say to Ken. I'm not trying to prove myself right. And anything that he sees, I mean, we're more than willing to look. The only thing that he brought as a direct criticism was the first line. And I have to disagree with Ken. I just don't believe that there's an ounce of guilt in that. If there's anybody else that thinks so, we're more than willing to hear that. Because the last thing in the world I want to do is, or have a need to do, is to guilt somebody into something. I am so sensitive about taking up offerings, and I anguished over this with you and with Jeff, and I told Jeff how difficult it was for me. He and I both he was a student at New Life Bible School when I was there teaching, and I said, you know, I just it's so difficult for me because if I get anywhere near any of this stuff at all, I hear Norval Hayes up taking up an offering, and I will not go there. I will not.
To the point that so many times, whether Michael is doing our own conference or he's up in Calgary doing a grace, you guys, Mike forgets to even take up an offering. This is just the reality. There are so many times that I'm listening to a CD coming out of a meeting, and there's no mention of the website, there's no mention of the webcast, there's no mention of the money, there's no mention of an offering, there's no mention of the CDs that are sitting back on the table. And it pisses me off. So,
not a good promoter. I need a little Don King anointing.
You need some Don King hair is what you need.
No. I need no hair.
Okay, you need no hair. But the truth of the matter is that we sent out that particular email with great consideration, and But you know what? I really do appreciate Ken following his heart. We have endeavored over the 6 years plus to follow our heart regarding finances. And Jackie, I really appreciate you saying that no matter what Mike and I would have said or written, that we couldn't have guilted you no matter what.
Yeah,
well, you know, I come from a background like Mike does and a lot of other people. Glenn, I'm not as familiar with your background, but we come from an exegetical academic study of the Bible background. That's what we did. That's how we were trained. And to hear the gospel or see the gospel from something else in nature, for instance, a fractal idea, the photosynthesis, you know what I'm saying, I like the academic approach, but as I ponder on these other things, I think, hey, man, that's really great. That's really cool. That makes great sense. And it builds me up, and it challenges me to think. And anything that challenges you to think has got to be good for you. It's gotten to the point where it's become, I've moved from the academic, I still do that, but I've expanded. And I appreciate my challenging us and Pep challenging us and Grant and Richard and so forth. But it's come to the point where it's just, it's almost matter of fact that we accept it. Matter of fact, yesterday, Billy and I were talking, and we were talking, or day before yesterday, she was talking about a friend of hers who is a Unitarian or Universalist, one or the other. And she said, it really doesn't matter, she said, because I see every person as a God fractal anyway. And yeah. She just said it so offhand because it's just so natural.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I think we're all growing in that way. And I just want to call in and tell you guys, thank you again. Don't
want to
take up the whole show.
No, yeah, hardly, Jackie. But thank you for as the free agent of the Gospel Revolution. I'm adding a new title to the Poet Laureate, the free agent. And by the way, if you're a pro sports star and you're a free agent, you're in good shape. So you're in good shape.
Yay.
Well, that depends on whether you're TO or not.
If you're Terrell Owens, yeah, that's true. If you're a free agent and have something to offer, then you're in good shape. And if you're a person that understands their redemption and their perfect and righteous status in the sight of God, then you have something to offer. That would be everybody. That's everybody. Jack, have you done any writing since you retired?
A couple of little things, but I'm going to share tonight.
Nothing that I can talk you into sharing.
No, I could give you my doctor's office humor, but that's about all. It's wonderful. Why can I remember the funny stuff and not the serious stuff? I can quote that.
All right, let's have one doctor's humor joke, and then we're going to let you go.
Well, I sent you the poem. I'll let you do that sometime.
Wait. Now I look back. Which poem do you refer to?
The prostate exam.
I don't remember seeing that, Jack.
You.
If I did, I would read it. Do I have this on my computer somewhere? All right, I may have deleted it already, but I may have laughed and deleted it. Jackie.
I am not going to do that.
All right,
let me tell you what I have been thinking. I've been the last few days. I've been thinking about the Kinsman Redeemer.
Oh my God! Yeah.
That's a beautiful thing, and I'll just throw that out there.
Yeah, so tell me what you know on it. That's been something that's been in my brain for a long time.
What have you been thinking about the Kinsman Redeemer? Jackie.
Man, you don't let me get away, are you? This is the first time I've called in when I wasn't at work. Hallelujah. To
yeah,
you.
I can tell because you don't like sound like you're in an echo chamber tonight. You're not out in the the hallway. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The kinsman redeemer. I believe it's in Leviticus. It says if a brother has waxen poor, and he's lost some property, okay. A kinsman who has the means and the desire can purchase that inherited land back, that property back, and keep it in the family. But a kinsman could be a brother, a cousin, a nephew, whatever.
Right.
Jesus is the nearest kin to the human family. He's the only member of the human family who has both the means and the desire and the ability to purchase back what we had lost. And he did that. That was God's desire. And in a nutshell, that's the kinsman redeemer.
Yeah, that is a poem in waiting right there.
Yeah, Jesus is the kinsman redeemer. That's for sure.
And there's much more about the kinsman redeemer, in the scriptures in reference to it. It's a beautiful type and foreshadowing of the Messiah. Jackie, we love you.
Thanks, Jackie. Love you, man.
Thanks for having me
on,
guys.
When are you going out to Arizona?
After Thanksgiving.
All right. We'll keep tabs on you.
Okay.
Good night,
Jack. We'll talk to you later.
Give our love to Billy.
I'll do it.
All right. There's Jackie Barnard. Right now, from Manchester, Tennessee, pretty soon from Wachuca City, Arizona, headed out to have a tete-a-tete, a head-to-head, a get-together with the very lovely and talented Billy Thompson. They met at the First Gospel Revolution Summit in Houston, Texas. This email comes in from Glenn Buchholz. Glenn, spelling his name G-L-E-N, and I spell my name, of course, with two N's. Actually, my parents spelled my name that way, and that's how I ended up having two N's. You need to know that as I read this email. Glenn writes in, keep up the good work. Don't let that email get you down. No one is perfect. To be perfect, Glenn just needs to learn how to spell his name. It needs to be a four-letter word. And Mike needs to take full credit for his teaching and quit crediting the Holy Spirit with having anything to do with it. Glenn Buchholz says, P.S., I have started to listen to the download that you guys sent me, about 1 hour of the 10 hours that you sent me, from giving a donation of $100, and it's been worth way more than I've already given. Tell the people $100 is only $10 an hour for this information, if it is 10-plus hours long, which it is. You can't go to a movie for that. Keep up the good work. Glenn Buchholz, the Forrest Gump of the Gospel Revolution. Thanks, Glenn. Much appreciated.
This information that came out of the summit, it is voluminous.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about that when we return, and we're going to be checking in with the maestro of the Gospel Revolution when we return right here on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
In the beginning, God said, let us make man in our own image, male and female, and call them Adam. And it was good. In the fall, the image of God was corrupted, but not forever.
When God created man in his own image, and we're not talking about somebody else creating an image, we're talking about God himself creating man in his own image. And then the fall of man, God knew he would have to destroy his own image. Let me tell you something I know now about the new creation. That your heart is designed by God to suffer, endure, and recover from all loss, no matter how horrific the loss is.
The Image of God. This 6-CD series is available for $48 plus shipping and handling, or download it now for $24 by clicking the download link at gospelrevolution.com. The Image of God, Get your copy today.
Am I here? I'm here. Thank you, Robbie Moore. And yes, that is available, downloadable, in a downloadable book, as he likes to say. The entire Gospel Summit number 2 in Tampa is going to be available, downloadable, if it's not available already, at gospelrevolution.com. And a man that we wish was at the summit is online with us right now. Please let us go to the great state, the Buckeye State of Ohio. I thought he had a gig tonight, but apparently not, because he's joining us live online. Please welcome the very lovely and talented, I cannot say that enough, Mr. Greg Amberg. Gregory.
Hey.
Hey.
This is just terrible timing.
Hey, Greg.
One of my friends is singing with Faith Hill right now on the CMAs, and I'm trying to... No, that's not. Never mind. That's not her.
Oh, okay.
I got all the blonde here.
Perfect timing.
How are you guys doing?
We are doing
wonderful.
We're getting saved as we speak.
I just heard you calling in. You talking about the email, and I wanted to call in. If you remember, a few weeks back, maybe a month or two, whenever Mike's birthday was, I delivered some pretty harsh criticism to you guys about one of the webcasts, if you'll remember that. And you guys take criticism better than about anybody I've ever met. Do you remember what I'm talking about, Glenn?
Hell yeah, but I don't remember responding online to it. I just remember responding to you in person.
Yeah, we were talking on the phone, and I was saying that, you know, it just sounded a little, you know, a little like it was kind of like mic worship a little bit.
A little idolatry, a little cultish.
Yeah, it sounded a little culty.
And there's something wrong with that?
Just a little bit. But Glenn went back and listened to the webcast and disagreed with me, and that was fine, and we had a disagreement about something. But you guys will listen to criticism about it, certainly better than any religious organization I've ever been a part of.
Oh, that's good. That is a great, incredible backhanded compliment right there.
Well, I the bar is really low there.
Yes, it is, Gregory.
One thought before I go. Today I found my old, what used to be my favorite New Testament translation back in the day, the expanded translation by Kenneth Wiest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was a professor of, I don't know, a language did or something at, he was a, what's the Baptist Seminary in Dallas?
I think it's the Baptist Seminary.
Baptist
Theological Seminary.
Dallas Theological, that's it.
Dallas Theological, yes.
But I remember how the reason we have all these different translations is because we were trying to find a way to make it all jive. To make James and John. I've been listening to The Faith of God this week, and just the comfort that we have in discussing the contradictions in what we call the New Testament, or what we used to call the New Testament, and how we used to just bend everything to try to get James to agree with Paul and John and Matthew and everything else. I'm just kind of thankful that we figured out why they didn't go together.
Well, you know, and that's a great point, and we're going to be talking about that as we talk about what happened at the summit. That is a fantastic point. But before you go, Greg, and changing subjects, kind of, sort of, you have, and I want to talk about this because we need to talk about this. You have been following the developing scandal at Penn State University that has been uncovered this week, where this former assistant coach, Jerry Sandusky, was found, well, at least has been arrested, to have been abusing young boys based on his position as an assistant coach with Penn State, which developed into a youth program, which developed into him apparently and allegedly molesting young boys, which turned into a cover-up by the university and by Joe Paterno, the legendary head coach at Penn State. And you had there's so much to this, folks, but the thing that you brought up to me that I had not read or heard yet in the media, because I have not, frankly, been following it that closely, that there was a pretty significant religious and church tie to this.
Well, yeah, it says in the 23-page indictment, one of the guys that does talk radio in Cincinnati is a lawyer, and he read the whole 23-page indictment, so he was pretty up on what had happened. But apparently, Sandusky used to take some of these young boys to church with him. It went way farther than molesting. It was raping. He was raping them. And then he would take them to church. And this whole thing, it just gives you the creeps when you think about it. But that part of it, to me, was just really strange, because when this thing first came to light in 1998, isn't that wild that it came to light in 1998, and 2011 is when it broke open? But in 98, we were at the height of the Catholic priest child molestation scandals all across the country. And Cincinnati had a major one, where actually the archbishop had to plead to a misdemeanor crime because he had covered up and reassigned priests, and turns out he lied about it and didn't report it to authorities and all that. But, I mean, in the 90s, it was the height of that awareness, and everybody was going, well, you know, the big thing in the Catholic Church was the cover-up, which was, from an institutional standpoint, it was worse than the crime, because it allowed the crimes to get duplicated and over and over again.
And to continue
in a different place with unsuspecting parents and everything else. And that was going on also in Philadelphia and in Pittsburgh. So we know that there was awareness of molestation issues and how, you know, adults have the responsibility to report those things as soon as they find them out. And then there was very explicit information given to Joe Paterno in 2002, and from one of his assistant coaches, who was an eyewitness to the rape of a young boy, and they covered that up. And it's just amazing to me.
Well, now tie this back to the gospel. First of all, I think we need to rehearse the fact that Jerry Sandusky, the coach that allegedly has been involved in these rapes and molestations, and Joe Paterno and the president of Penn State and other people that were involved apparently in a cover-up. By the way, folks, around the world, Joe Paterno, this 84-year-old coach, the most winning coach in college football history in the United States, has now resigned. And as the airing of this webcast, will be coaching his last game at the end of the season. Some have said he should have stepped down immediately, but that's what's happening right now. I was on the radio here in Tampa Bay today talking about this, and Michael, I spoke, of course not specifically, but in general terms, about your situation. This is exactly what you went through, and not as prominent a figure, obviously, as Joe Paterno, but in your little town in rural Illinois, this was a potential scandal. You decided to go forward with this. When you discovered that your son-in-law had been molesting his sister-in-law, your daughter, and you did not cover it up. And frankly, I credit the gospel with that, because you were able to make a rational decision in the middle of the most traumatic thing, other than literally the losing of a child that a parent can experience, and we're pretty much on the other side of that. But this situation where adults sexually abuse children is prominent in our society, and I think it would be safe to say that the mostly men that are involved in this do not understand their own righteousness, nor the righteousness of the young people that they are perpetrating this crime against. But you went forward where Joe Paterno and the other people in positions of responsibility did not go forward with it. Why did you go forward with that?
Well, I had a, of course, it was a heart-wrenching time, and the thing that you have to keep in mind when a crime takes place, you've got to keep the victim of the crime in mind, not the people who are going to have to deal with the crime. And that's the reason cover-ups take place, is that you lose consciousness of and your awareness of who the victim is. And, you know, after going through this thing with my in my own sphere of life and family, and this being discovered right in the very roots of our the deepest parts of our family, and having gone through it, I've a book title that I want to address someday is the title of it, which I always come up with titles first, is the title will be Pedophiles and the People Who Protect Them. There's a very strange thing that goes on out here. And it's just like what Greg said. It's the truest part of the crime, which I'm hoping that people understand this, is that equal to the crime and greater than the crime is the cover-up of a crime, because it causes the same crime to be able to be committed many, 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 many times more, especially when it comes to the molestation of children. I could not speak out loudly enough. If you know of anybody, I know the ramifications. I know the shame that it brings to the family. I know all of that. I know the lives that get shredded. But you cannot, folks, let me tell you, you cannot defend a pedophile or cover up for a pedophile for the probability of Penn State falling apart, a family, a marriage being affected. We can't do it because of the consequences. Because, you see, you don't understand, people who do that do not understand the impact of child molestation upon the child that was molested. And the most forgotten person in child molestation is the child. They are the most forgotten, and they remain forgotten, most of them, for their lives. And even in the process of trying to expose it, the whole story becomes about what it does to other people's lives. And I hate what it did to my daughter's family. I hate what it did to everybody in the family. I hate what it did to my son-in-law's mother. All of these things, believe me, I know the gravity of making a decision like that. But you see, when you realize that if you don't stand up for that child, you are equal to that child's molester. Let me say that again. If you are aware of a child that has been or being molested and you do not stand up and bring it to light, you are equal to that child's molester.
Now, frankly, that is pretty much exactly what I shared, and I knew that I would be sharing it with hundreds of thousands of people here in the Tampa Bay Area. It's why I felt I needed to call in, because of my personal and intimate experience with this. And that cannot be, listen, this webcast is going all over the world. There is child molestations going on it's going on right now as we speak. And so Ken may ask, well, what does that have to do with the gospel? There's two things that has to do with the gospel. Number one, we are dealing with reality. We are dealing with the truth. You say that you guys talk about that the law is null and void. The law has been done away with. Yes, as far as God is concerned, the pedophile is as righteous and perfect and holy and sinless as anybody else who has never even thought in those terms.
That's exactly what I said to my son-in-law the night that this all broke. It took me 1 week after my daughter told me to figure out what to do. And 1 week later, I was sitting with him in his living room with just he and I. And that was the thing that I conveyed to him was that I told him, I said, Jason, you are, in God's eyes, you're perfect and you're righteous and you're holy. You do not have a problem with God. You have a problem with me and the state of Illinois.
And the other aspect that the gospel does influence, in our humble opinion, and this is our opinion, it's pretty well-founded opinion, but take it for what it's worth, is that the influence of the gospel on a soul, and in this particular case on Mike Williams' soul, allowed him to go forward to help protect not just his daughter Audrey, but his granddaughters and grandsons, and any future children that might be affected by Jason's proclivity towards children sexually.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a perfect example. I doubt that the young man that saw, allegedly, reportedly, the assistant coach, Jerry Sandusky, raping this young boy in the locker room of Penn State, or Joe Paterno, or the president of Penn State, I doubt that those guys were under the influence of the gospel. But when Mike Williams was, in this particular case, we're just telling the story. We're just telling what we've experienced. It's all we can tell you guys. What we've seen in the scriptures, what we've seen in the New Testament, what we've seen in our lives, what we've observed in our own lives, it's all we can report. When Mike Williams was confronted of this in his family, he went forward immediately. He did not cover it up. And, Michael, what was the level of temptation to try to cover this up and try to figure it out?
I don't remember the temptation to cover it up being anything that I really had to deal with. My whole deal was, how do I deal with it? The thought of covering it up, I don't think crossed my mind, honestly. My issue was, how do I do this? And, and when you're dealing with something like this, here's the thing, not only was I dealing with my daughter, who was the victim of this from the time she was 8 years old until the time she was 15, I didn't find out until she was 18. There's Jason. He was like my own son. There's my daughter who was married to Jason, my two granddaughters. There's Jason's mother. There's Hazel, our kid's mother. All of these people I brought into consideration in making this decision as to what to do. But the thing that I had to focus on was the victim of this crime. And the second tier of this was the potential victims if I don't bring this to light. Because pedophiles not only groom the children, they groom the people, that the adults around them, to accept it. That's the reason I would love to write a book entitled Pedophiles and the People Who Protect Them. because you just wouldn't believe. Just exactly the same as when you find out who a pedophile is, people are like shocked beyond belief. You also would never believe who would protect a pedophile.
Right, which is exactly what I asked of the hundreds of thousands of people that were listening to the radio show I was on. I asked them, please do not protect the pedophile. And there's so much more that could be said about this, but the gospel, the power of God, Paul called the gospel the power of God. Michael, when the power of God is active in your life, it frees you to follow your heart. Even if, as was posted at the Friends of Gospel Revolution on Facebook, the video, that was the subject, following your heart, Mike Kolb. Talking about it on the video that's on Facebook right now. That allows the human being to actually be free enough to follow his or her own heart.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, it is the biggest issue of the gospel. There is no bigger issue than learning to follow your heart, because that is the big transition away from religion, and the entire construct of operating within the realm of guilt. You know, a lot of times when people don't come forward to report things like this, it really is because of their own guilt. Not that they themselves are pedophiles, but they know they've done things that are covered up, and they don't want, they know that they've done things. All of us have done things we hope nobody ever knows about.
Including thinking, thinking about things.
Right.
That we would hope nobody would know about. And of course, Yeshua put thinking pre-cross, pre-crucifixion, he put thinking into the same category as doing. Now, he was not equating somebody's righteousness as to what they thought. He was strictly demonstrating prior to going to the cross that is how strict the law of God is, that it even includes your thoughts. And so many people who rail against pedophiles, who rail against homosexuals, who rail against murderers, have actually had those own thoughts go through their minds. And so they, listen, I've said this many times, and I'll say it many more times. When you hear a preacher preaching hard against a certain behavior, you can guarantee it, you can take it to the bank, that preacher is battling with that, at least in their own thought process, at least in their own thought life. And we cannot explain more clearly that Yeshua took the penalty for the law on the cross. You guys, you're not guilty in the sight of God because you think about something. You're not even guilty in the sight of God if you do something. You are perfect and righteous and holy and sinless and blameless in the sight of God. That's how powerful was the work of Christ at the cross. We don't know how much more clearly to say it. And that thought, and the gospel is a thought, that thought actually saves the soul. It actually may bring clarity to your thought process. We think it does. We believe it does. Michael says, I am proud of this gospel for what it has done. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I say, I am confident in the gospel. You guys, this is where the rubber meets the road. Greg, I'll bet you when you picked up the phone and dialed the number that you didn't think we were going to be talking about this tonight.
No, I didn't. But you know, when you're correct about it, the rubber meeting the road, because I mean, when we're willing to understand the gospel to the point that we're able to say that Jerry Sandusky and Joe Paterno are righteous and holy before God, that is absolutely the opposite of everything I was taught.
Yeah.
But I understand that now, and it it's a sad situation. But I think the gospel brings a lot of clarity to it, at least for me.
Greg. Yeah, I think you're right, Greg. It really is amazing that it's funny how we have to categorize somebody, demonize somebody, we need them to not be part of us. We need Hitler to not be part of us. We need pedophiles to not be part of us. We need murderers to not be part of us. But I think the healthiest thing the human race can do is to embrace that all of these people are part of us. And
Whoa. You just gave a great commercial for the upcoming Mike Williams book. The greatest thing, you just said, the greatest thing that we can do is to embrace these people as part of us.
Yes, absolutely.
I
think the only way we can, with clear conscience, judge their actions in a civil society is if we embrace them as part of us. The only way that we can do this with any degree of measuring out punishment according to the crime is if they are part of us. Now, that doesn't mean you, and believe me, it certainly doesn't mean that you're going to be more compassionate. Do you know that, of course, Christians, once somebody's asked forgiveness, they think you ought to just let everybody go. That's not all Christians, but believe me, once they go through a jailhouse conversion and the preacher's on their side and they've really changed and we need to let them out of prison now. Well, no, I disagree with that.
Wait. Why do you have to put a southern twang on that? That's what I want to know.
Because that's the preachers I've heard do this.
Oh, okay. It sounded authentic to me, but I had to ask.
That's the preachers I've heard do this. And, the only way the justice system we have is really, really messed up.
Yes.
And the only way I see that it can, that our justice system, you can change the system every direction that you want to, but until the reality that we are all equal and one in the eyes of God and that everyone is righteous, I don't think we can mete out proper justice in any justice system, because of the need to demonize people rather than to judge specifically their act or their deed. We must see, and there's that whole thing, we've got to make sure that people know that's not us. I'd never do that. Now, I would never want you to know the thoughts that went through my mind when I heard about their crime or what they did or any of those things. So you see, I have to make sure that you know that I think they're of the devil and we're of God. But see, when you get rid of your own righteousness, you don't need to have to draw those lines between you and people who do not act like you. You truly can judge, and when I'm talking about judging, I'm not talking about God's judgment, I'm talking about judging a situation as to whether or not it is equitable or whether fairness or a crime has taken place or not. We must move our judicial system out of this Christian mindset because it ain't working. We've got people abusing the system so badly, all the way from the cop on the beat all the way through to the judge. And this mindset explained to me by one of the FBI's finest that was a 32-year veteran of FBI. He explained to me that after he understood the gospel, he was head of legal counsel for the FBI for 10 years. he explained to me that the reason for this was because of the us against them mentality gets into law enforcement, and it creates this hostile environment of us against them, because most of, as he told me, most of the people who get involved in law enforcement are drawn out of Christian families. Now, that was his assessment, not mine. And he said because of their strong sense of justice, which having a strong sense of justice is a good thing. But if it comes from a strong sense of self-righteousness, it will be perverted justice.
Indeed, that could not be better said. This issue, folks, and the issues of people stepping outside the bounds of what we consider morality and what truly is morality is not a gospel issue. Our ability to deal with it is a gospel issue.
Yes.
As Michael has said so profoundly on so many occasions, that the gospel prepares and allows the human heart to suffer tremendous loss and recover. Michael, on a scale of 1 to 10, based on the tragedy, and by the way, for you guys that are listening for the first time to this story, this has been an ongoing story during the entire 6-plus years of the webcast, and more so, frankly, as time has gone on. So, just so you know, this has been something we've talked about quite a bit. On this November 9th, 2011, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your level of coping, dealing, recovering from the tragedy of not only what we've talked about tonight, but on, frankly, losing much or most of your family over this?
Oh, now?
Yeah.
I am at complete peace about it.
You're at a 10?
Yes.
You're at a 10.
Yes. Now, that does not mean it doesn't cross my mind. I don't have my moments that I might feel. But you know what? This is really bizarre. I just have to tell you like it is. I did lose the majority of my immediate family as a result of this, and but I honestly, when I think about them, regardless of the decisions they made about me during this, because many of them thought that this should have been covered up, regardless of what they think about me, I have a smile on my face when I think about them. I haven't seen two of my daughters in going on 7 years now, and I haven't seen four of my grandkids, my only four grandkids, in that same amount of time. I wouldn't know my own grandchildren if I saw them on the street, and that is a loss. I mean, that is an incalculable loss to me personally, because these are people that I greatly treasure and value in my life. Still to this day, I treasure them and value them. But they've made their choices pertaining to our relationship. And you might say, well, do you respect their decision? It doesn't have anything to do with whether I respect their decision or not. It just is. And I have to accept that in the form that it is. And I'm at peace not because I believe I did everything right. I'm at peace with it because I know that I followed my heart. And I look back on it, were there things that I could have done differently? I am really sure that in the middle of the confusion and the heartache of all of that, that I could have done something different. I don't know of anything that would have probably changed the outcome of this, for sure. Jason did wind up going to prison under the charges that were brought against him, and the case was proven. But the I'm at peace. It's not that I can't get my heart broken today about something else.
Right.
But the thing about in dealing with hurt or broken heart now is that I know I can recover, and that's been the greatest thing to come out of this.
And Greg, because you have been listening for a long time and have been very involved with following this story, what Michael just said will not be a surprise to you, but it is still amazing.
You talking about the cover up aspect of it?
No, just the healing aspect of it. What Michael just said, the ramifications of what he dealt with and has come through.
Yeah, and
listen. I know this is tough stuff.
Yeah,
and you because of your heart. And because of your compassion, you have followed that story particularly closely. This is not easy. And, I got to say this. With all due respect to our critic that we posted the email, and if you guys want to get the e-newsletter, just go to gospelrevolution.com and just enter your email address, and you'll get the email. And you'll see all this stuff. We posted a very direct criticism of this ministry and this effort today. And because of that, that we covered this stuff. And one of his criticisms was that we're getting very opinionated and very speculative. But in our opinion, and that's all we have to go on, this is gospel stuff. This is where the rubber meets the road.
Exactly.
This is very real to us.
It's very easy for us to look back in retrospect, looking back, and there's my redundancy of the day, but to talk about Hitler or Mao or Stalin or whoever and say, sure, they're righteous, but because we didn't know any of their victims, or we didn't, we weren't so close to the story, but to have it happening today, and to be able to look at Jerry Sandusky and feel a certain measure of, man, I mean, that guy at some point in his life was abused.
Yeah. Most likely, yes.
Most likely. I mean, and you feel you're able to look rationally at the situation and say, I don't know. I'm at a loss for words about it. It's a tough thing for me to think about.
You don't have to make someone demonic to accept the fact that they're really messed up.
Right.
And we don't know what messed them up. And the thing that also that opens our heart to these things is if we embrace that all these people are part of us.
Yeah.
We then have a greater desire to figure out what happened to them.
Yeah, because like you just said, there are things that I don't want people to know about me.
Absolutely. As every listener that's listening now and everybody else on the planet.
Yeah.
All right, Gregory. Well, we cannot thank you for picking up the phone and calling enough. Thanks, you.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, this was pretty meaty and pretty wonderful stuff. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks.
Good night there.
Night.
All right, there goes Greg Ambergy out of the Cincinnati, Ohio area, the maestro of the Gospel Revolution. Sean is to my direct right, and, bro, I got to apologize. I mean, obviously we've gone way over time, and we've got a few more minutes that we got to go, and he just said, cool. Sean was at the Friday night get together prior to the first meeting of the Gospel Revolution Summit number 2. I saw him and Mike actually embrace, and ironically, Sean and Mike had a very similar outfit on. when they met for the first time. And as you guys that follow the webcast know, we were planning on having Mike in studio tonight because we thought, Mikey, that you're going to be hanging around in the general Central Florida area for, up until tonight. But that did not work out. And which, I mean, the frickin' summit was done, and you hightailed it right back to your couch.
I want to go home.
You wanted to go, and you did. You did go home, and Sean knew that, and he was good with that. But we would be remiss not to talk for a couple minutes, even though we are way over time. And see, here's what happens, folks, when you set up a law, and the law was a few weeks ago that we would only go 60 minutes. With the webcast, and we're about 90 minutes in now, 85 minutes to be exact. I know Sean is giving us some space because, well, you were caught in traffic. But we would be remiss not to go into a bit of detail about how incredible the Gospel Revolution Summit 2 was at the stadium in there, not too far from Raymond James Stadium in Tampa Bay, Florida, just down the block. And we got into it. I mean, you seriously got into some teachings. As Glenn Buchholz said earlier on the email that we read, that the download is about 10 hours long. We did four sessions. You taught at all four sessions. And you introduced and taught the topic of the teachings of James and Peter and John. And you took these guys' teachings and their backgrounds and their perspective into context.
Yeah.
And oh, my God, did we learn a lot. We learned so much on Friday and Saturday about the gospel with these beautiful humans that were gathered from all over the place. It was incredible.
Yeah, there's a lot of times I walk away from a session feeling that I did not do as well as I had wanted to do. This one was quite the opposite to that. I walked away from this one feeling that I did better than I thought it would come out. And, it was very succinct. We went into the detail that we needed to. It has left open an incredible vista of study on each of these books for everybody. We focused on the primary disagreement between Paul and James, between Paul and Peter, and between Paul and John. And then we compared those to the scriptures.
Right. And I was going to say between James and Peter and John, and their disagreement, which they probably didn't know they had, but
yes,
which we discovered some 2,000 years later that they had with the scriptures. Peter and James and John and Jude, which we did not even get into at all because it's like a page in the New Testament writings, they had some significant differences with the revelation mm-hmm. that we get from the scriptures.
And they had pretty significant differences with each other, actually, in some of their basic understanding. But the thing that we were able to do, the thing that I'm very, very pleased with, is that we took the main topic of each of these books, compared it to Paul's teaching, and it, let me say that the thing that we contrasted between Paul and James is the issue of faith. Paul and James saw faith differently. And then with Peter, the number one issue with Peter and all three of his letters, the main issue between he and Paul was judgment and any future judgment coming to this planet. And then, of course, the one that was the major difference between Paul and John was the issue of sin. And we took their positions, and I think we understood why even they took those positions, which really was amazing to be able to get through these major mindset adjustments, but we compared all of that to the scriptures, and not to be moved by any man's writings. The respect that I have for the scriptures, this, as I refer to it now, as this body document of scripture, is really lifted out of me in a very special way, and I think that what degree of understanding I have of the scriptures, which I also still admit is limited, but it was sufficient enough to help us get through these major hurdles that many people stumble over. In fact, the whole world stumbles over these in trying to understand the gospel. So I'm very excited about it, and the downloads are already available, of course, with Jeff Robertson at the helm there, and people are already absorbing this.
You know, we could talk, you guys, for another solid hour about what happened at the summit and the people that were there, but you can hear it all. You can hear it all via the download. You can call us. You can call Jeff. The numbers to Jeff at the office, to me, to Michael, are all available. Call us if you want to talk about it. Get the downloads if you want to hear it. It's a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful, beautiful thing to take the scriptures, to take these writings, and to compare and contrast and to talk. We had almost 30 people at this summit, which I know when you look at Joel Osteen's church in Houston, Texas, and there's 20,000 people, I know that does not sound like anything, but our goal is to reach 1 billion people. And as we mentioned at the summit, which we were just down the road from the football stadium where the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play, that holds about 70,000 people. Even if we would have filled that stadium at 70,000, compared to 1 billion people, it's nothing. So we were just happy with the group. We were very happy, thrilled with the group of individuals. And here's the thing about getting together with a small group. You could actually get to know everybody. And if you will dare to look at the videos that Jeff will post free on YouTube, on Facebook, if you will dare to get the downloads, you'll hear everybody. You'll see it all. And if you dare to get the Gospel Revolution e-newsletter, you'll read specifically about Michael's response to the summit and how he experienced personally Jesus in the people that were there. I would be very delinquent to not mention the individual people that responded to our request for financial help coming out of that summit. We need your help still, and if you guys want to look on the website or want to look on the e-newsletter, just do that. You'll know the need, and do what you can. We have been so pleased, so happy, so blessed, so thankful for the response, not from God, but from these human beings that responded to our request. And I'm just going to read the list of people that gave based on the summit and on the newsletter that went out on Monday and today. We have got to thank Richard Mull. Thank you so much, Richard. We love you. We have to thank Billy Thompson. We have to thank James Pep Washburn, Chris Ann Panther, Glenn Buchholz, Tom and Linda Wilby, Lee Lau, Tom Tomsky, Dale Van Sickle, Ray Muse, Howard Wirch, Daniel Erickson, Paul Viggers, Eric Varcano, Alvin Cooper, James and Gail Gustafson, Donald Wynn, Tim Knappenberger, Ten Winsett, Mary Lou Kustra, Jerry Ryan, Carla Barton, Mike Kolb, Chris Ayers, Jolie Gascon, Tommy Griffin, and Josh Tenney. We just got to thank you guys.
Yeah.
And those are those that responded directly to our peals over this past weekend and in the last couple days. Thank you, guys. It's been an amazing ride for, well, you've been doing about a quarter century. I've been in on this thing for about 12 or 13 years, and it's pretty damn cool. We've got a lot of beautiful humans that we know and that we love.
Yeah, no doubt. And as just as we're signing off here tonight, thank you guys so much. I'm so really encouraged by the fact that we can be very open about anything on this webcast, and to convey the gospel, and we do talk about some issues, and hopefully in the light of the impact of the gospel, or what the gospel's impact could be on those issues, if the gospel be introduced, I think they're very, very vital to talk about. It's just opening our minds to the possibilities and the ramifications of the gospel, because I really am looking to see this make a major change in this planet, and so you have to talk about just about everything, and we appreciate all the criticisms in anything, and believe me, I take it all to heart.
Right.
If there's any way that we can do this better, I will definitely be the first one on board.
And speaking of criticisms, I would be remiss not to thank Ken for his participation throughout whatever he's done or given or shared of the Gospel Revolution and this particular webcast. It played a huge role. And speaking of criticisms, Jeffro Robertson just reported that I called Roy Muse Ray Muse, and Roy, we know that you're Roy, just so you know that I know.
Roy?
That you know that I know that you know that I know. All right, folks, we are way over time. Sean O'Halloran, thank you. Thank you, Shawnee. For being patient and allowing us to go extremely over time. But I thought that it was important, and we had a lot to cover tonight, especially with you getting stuck in traffic.
That was 6 minutes. Don't blame that on me.
I'm blaming it on you. I know you can. Well, we also want to thank Jackie Barner. Oh, by the way, Billy Thompson sent me Jackie's very perverse poem, and if you want to hear it or see it, just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. I will be happy to forward it to you, because it is quite twisted, and given the profound and incredible intellectual beautiful poetry and prose of Jackie Barnard, I would be really, to repeat it on air would be a shame. But I'll forward it to you in a millisecond. So if you want to see Jackie Barnard's proctology poem that Billy Thompson, by the way, emailed to me, just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. I'll be happy to send it to you. But we want to thank Jackie for calling in tonight for sure. Greg Ambergy from Mainville, Ohio, for doing as well. Thank you to Jeff Robertson for correcting me on Roy Muse's name and keeping me on the straight and narrow, and for everything he does as the administrator and secretary of defense of the Gospel Revolution. Michael, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn.
Okay. Thank you.
We appreciate everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you for not being raptured. and to Sean O'Halloran for being the producer, engineer, call screener, and a very patient friend extraordinaire. Sean, thank you. And, oh, by the way, big news. Sean passed the insurance agent's test, Michael.
Oh, yay.
The night after he was with us, right at the Green Iguana, he passed. He was.
I had no doubt.
Yeah. I had a little doubt, I have to admit.
But, I had no doubt.
But he proved himself true, and he is now, what are you? A general? General Lines? General Lyons agent. Mazel tov, my friend. You are the man. He's still in his, like, insurance getup tonight. He didn't change. He usually changes clothes. He usually puts on a t-shirt and shorts, but he did not do that tonight. All right, so, you know, we're only 40 minutes after the 60-minute time allotment. See what happens when you set a law, Michael? See what happens?
Well, this wasn't a law. This was a goal, so right. No excuses.
All right, no excuses. All right, well, I got to thank Carla Barton for making a, you know, I was really pissed off at Carla, I got to tell you. She cut a check to the Gospel Revolution at the summit. I was like, baby. Just put it in my pocket. No, she had to make a check out. She signed the check. But I'm going to request that she gets my tea and honey ready, as is her want. And we're going to call it a night. We'll do it again next time, next week. And until that time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody.